This is the Amp Hour Podcast. Released January 22nd, 2024. Episode 656. Pneumatic tubes straight to the home.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gamble of Contextual Electronics.
I still remember how to do it.
Yeah, you do. Welcome back.
Yes.
How was your holiday?
Happy New Year. Good. Yes. 4,500 kilometers of driving.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. That's, I don't know. What's
that
in miles?
Small amount.
You have to divide that by 1.7.
A considerable amount.
Yes. 3,000 miles, maybe.
Yeah. Yep. That's basically like driving across the US once.
Right. So, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that is equivalent to driving across Australia once, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Someone said, is that the same as driving across Australia and back? I went, no, it's one way.
No, don't do that.
Yep. Nope.
It's a great time to book a short flight, six-hour flight.
You know what I thought about? It briefly, this foolish endeavor briefly entered my mind.
I'm sure you had a lot of time to think on that kind of drive, you know?
Yeah, yes, exactly. While I was driving, I don't remember the year, but my mate Tricky Dick Smith, he once set the. Oh, I don't know. It's not really a world record, but he was the first to drive across Australia in an EV.
Oh, interesting.
And this is back when EVs weren't a thing. You know, you got one, you know, they were basically one of those university research things. No, no, it was basically one of those university research things or something. I don't know where he got the actual EV from, but it was back in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Late 80s.
Not, early, you know? Not trying to drive across the outback in an experimental vehicle. That's some breaking new ground kind of thing that I am not an adventurer type. I'm not sure if that.
Yeah,
comes
no, he's the adventurer type. He's famous for adventure, and he set many records.
Yeah.
Around the world solo in a helicopter. First person to do that. Second person to do it as well. He actually ended up doing it four times. You know, because once wasn't enough. So he said that the third and fourth times were much easier because he had GPS. and his family went with him, I think, on the third and fourth time. So, yeah, I think that was maybe
none
the
for
condition.
Me, thanks.
Right,
none for that, me.
The GPS was maybe the condition of the wife. We have to have GPS.
I mean, so what did you do on this trip? I mean, like, is that a lot of podcasts or like, did you listen to the whole Amp Hour back catalog? What kept you busy that whole time?
I just downloaded some, you know, stuff during the.
Come on, Dave, share your playlist. What are you listening to?
I'm not going to share my podcast playlist. No, because there's nothing that you would. It's only stuff that would invite controversy, let's
say. Conspiracy theories. That's what I'm hearing.
That's it.
Here. Okay.
Yep. UFOs and the
tinfoil hat,
you know,
driving
and tinfoil hat stuff and the WEF and the, you know, and the lizard people and the all that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully you got your fill.
Yeah. Sorry, no electronics. I don't think I listened to any. Oh no, I did listen to
a couple
of engineering. Oh. Well, they weren't podcasts; they were YouTube videos. So I didn't. I don't think I listened to an actual podcast. Mm. I think I listened to YouTube videos, but I didn't watch
it. It's catching on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Podcasts or YouTube?
Podcasts. Yeah. Podcasts are catching on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I barely listen to anything these days, you know.
Yeah. See, the thing is, it wasn't just me. You know, I had the family in the car as well. So it's not like I can, you know, just stick the earbuds for 6 hours and, you know.
Got it.
So,
got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does help with the monotony, though, when you're actually driving. If I'm not, 100%. Talking to someone or if I'm not, you know, singing or I'm not, you know, if I don't have some podcast on or something, you can really start to drift.
New Patreon members for the Amp Hour, you actually get an unedited 40-hour recording of Dave singing in the car.
Right.
Don't laugh.
People will actually sign up and go, where's my 40 hours of...
I know. Yeah.
I did that mistake.
See, this is the extras once. That people pay for, yeah.
Yeah, well, do I ever tell you about the time that I jokingly included a thing in one of my, was it Kickstarter or one of my Indiegogo? No, I'd never used Indiegogo, but, you know, one of those crowdfunding things. Crowdfunding. I included a joke tier. It was obviously a joke tier, but somebody emailed me and said, hey, I'm interested in paying the $5,000 for this thing. Like, it was like $5,000 and I can give you a personal tour of the dumpster room and I would buy you lunch.
Yeah, I think I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And somebody actually emailed me and say, hey, I would love to take you up on that.
That's why you got to go big, man. When you're running a Pepsi contest and you're joking about a Harrier jet, make sure you get the points calculated correctly.
Yes. Oh God, I remember that. Yeah. The Harrier jump jet thing. Yeah. That was Pepsi, was it? Who was it?
It was a Pepsi contest. It was like you had to screw the cap off, and then I think they found a loophole or something. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember they sued.
Right.
And they won.
They sued them and they won. Yeah. Did they had to pony up like $10 million or something, didn't they?
I think maybe it got reduced on a technicality or something like that.
Yeah.
But
they won, yeah.
They definitely, Pepsi was in the wrong. I know that. As a kid who wanted to be in a Harrier jet, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh boy. Anyway, for those wondering, no, I did. I declined the $5,000 to go to the dumpster room because I did my research on the. I thought, you know. And anyway, it turns out, there might have been some conspiracy theories involved. So, really. It might have been maybe some free energy involved, if you know what I mean.
Got it. Yes.
So
yes,
the person wanted me to, validate their free energy or something like that. Oh boy. Yeah. Be careful what you. Be careful of the hype. Hype.
Hype.
Segway. It's 2024 and still.
They never end. Is this going to be at solar or something something?
Well, there is. I wasn't going to include that, but thanks for reminding me. Yes, there is.
Dave just actually downloaded thousands of hours of himself ranting about
solar freaking roadways. Hyperloop went bust. Virgin Hyperloop won. Well, Virgin had actually pulled out.
No doubt
but
that was
going to
happen, yeah.
Finally went bust. But I did a video on that, and there's still like five other Hyperloop companies officially. I think there's only like one or two that are still like actually really serious. But still, they're out there.
I mean, whenever this stuff comes up, I'm like point at that stuff and like, we're going to put a vacuum tube all the way across the United States or wherever they're saying about it.
Yeah.
And at least in the U.S., we can barely put metal across railroad ties and then get a train to go above 100 miles an hour across it. So, like, come on.
What is maybe, the fastest train in the U.S.?
It is the Acela Express, and it goes from...
I'm surprised that you know this.
I like trains. I've always wanted to ride this one. It's also the most... It's very expensive to ride on. It is, like, the most backwater... Oh, it's just terrible in the U.S. There's like, I think Wendover has a couple things about it. And there was a video recently about where trains actually have succeeded. And surprisingly, it was in Florida. It was there's actually a quasi, not like high speed, not like China high speed or Japan speed or even Europe high speed. It's like high speed for the U.S. And it's in Florida between like Miami, Tampa, and I forget the other city, but it's like three relatively large. Though.
Yeah.
They're relatively large metros and like a lot of people, and it you know, it's flat ground too, and it's, you know, you gotta watch out for the gators, but it's a great video.
Of course.
I'll link it in once I find it. But
awesome.
Florida train video. trains in the US. The fastest one is the Acela Express, as far as I know, and I believe it goes DC, New York, Boston. I think that's the corridor.
Once again, major centers. And how fast does it go? Yeah. Like 100 mile an hour or something?
I think like 125 is where it tops out.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Yep. So like nothing compared to like China. Right.
So it isn't even hitting 200 Ks an hour.
No, there's true. Right. I think by actual measures, there is no high speed service in the U.S. There is the fastest in the U.S., which is the Acela, but it's not high speed by any outside of the U.S. standards.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It stinks. I love trains. I mean, come on. Like, who doesn't love trains?
No, trains are cool. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yep. There's all this stuff about like freight in the U.S. as well, like how freight takes priority and how they're extending trains and all the the off track they call it. I forget what they call it when like a train has to pull up to one side when it's just one track. But like the trains are so long that they still block even when they're pulled off to the side now.
They still block the line.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Like I said, Wendover is, we've mentioned that hundreds of times on the show already, but like one of my favorite YouTube channels. So.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because he covers all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's great.
That's right. Yeah, logistics.
Yep. Speaking of which, they freight. They couldn't even succeed when they actually pivoted, when Hyperloop 1 actually pivoted to freight instead of passengers. They still couldn't. I still
so basically
realized
that point,
it was
like a pneumatic tube, like in a, like an office building, you know, like when you're, it is funny that someone like looked at that and like, no, we can put people in there. I found a mouse in there once. It was dead, of course, but you know, it got through that tube pretty fast.
Well, did we ever mention that company? I can't remember the, Pipe Dream. I think the company's called Pipe, and it's got Pipe in their name.
That's a pretty good name, actually, if it was Pipe Dream.
Yeah, but it's literally a pipe dream. And the CEO actually wanted to come on my show and actually debate it. And I went, no, it's just free publicity for you, dude. You're just going to fail. But he was serious. Like, he was actually – he genuinely believes that – like, he started this startup that –
was going to actually deliver
and like Amazon and other packages by pipes, and people would go to these little. It wouldn't go straight to your home because you know having a pipe going to every home is kind of ridiculous. So
I don't know. I think the internet goes to our homes, Dave, and I believe it's a series of tubes.
It's just a series of tubes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or tubes.
Tubes.
Oh my God! Who said that? Who was that?
I believe that was an Al Gore quote.
Al Gore, was it? I knew it was one of the US politicians, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Or was it, probably. Anyway, it's just a series, internet's a series of tubes. Very meme-worthy. Anyway, failed. And then, like, 2024 is still here, and you mentioned Solar freaking Roadways, and yes, they're still going, of course, in their 18th, I think this is their 18th year. So round of applause, please, a golf clap. For Solar freaking Roadways, the Bruceors, who are, you know, they're still going. They're sucking that government teat, and I do believe they are still operational. So, milking the next funding round.
Yeah, but, that's the luck. I was wrong. Sorry, it was not Al Gore. Sorry, it was U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. I got that wrong.
Really, Ted Stevens?
I didn't know who that was.
No, that's not the name I associated with that. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's a series of tubes. Yeah. I just love it. I just heard that the other day. Somebody put it in a video somewhere. You know. people love to make fun of politicians. What was who was that U.S. politician who thought that the island of Guam would capsize because they were putting too many, they were building too many things on it? I'm not getting. Oh, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that video? No. He was like, he was in Congress or something, and he had like a general in there or something, and he was like grilling this general about why you're putting things on. I think it was Guam, and I'm pretty sure. And he said, "Is there any? You know, I fear it might actually the island might actually capsize," and the general had to try and keep a straight face.
Representative Hank Johnson out of Georgia.
There you go. Right, yeah. Yeah, you can actually watch the video.
I did not hear that. No, it was 2010 that happened. So that's a ways ago. Actually, that is worth before the show, Dave. It's before the show. So.
Oh, it is. Really? There you go. Anyway, very cringeworthy.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's the caliber of politicians actually doing this sort of task. But hi to all my viewers in the – all my viewers, our viewers in – used to the EV.
Listeners. Book. Listeners for us, Dave.
Listeners. Not even viewers.
Right, Dave refuses to turn video on for our recording. So
No, it's just a waste of time.
Got a Facebook video.
Exactly.
For radio, rather.
Yes, the Netherlands, they've opened two new solar bike paths, even though they've opened four before and they've all failed. And Solar Roads in the Netherlands, that also failed and they went bankrupt. Somebody actually, after I did the update video on this, somebody sent me the thing saying, oh, yeah, they've actually gone bankrupt.
Do any of them ever, like, okay, so, like, the idea of, like, a raised covered, you know, walkway.
No, that's only in sensible countries like Germany that have that.
Yeah, I know. But like when someone like approaches them with that, though, and just say, well, why don't you just put it up? What do they say?
It's not innovative enough. It sounds too ordinary.
Straightforward.
We already do that. Yeah, because they're looking to the politicians are looking to use that money they've got for innovation in quote marks, and just putting roofs on top of, you know, car parks and bikeways. That's not innovative. That doesn't excite them.
What if you made it a different color? Or you put some screens on it or something.
Something like that. You've got to do something innovative. It's got to Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
No, sorry. That's why you don't get any government funding, Chris.
It is true.
No government funding for you.
So this is something I wanted to bring up about. So, 2024, new year. I am on parental leave. I'm spending a little bit of time.
Oh, yes.
So I'm out. And I'm trying a new web framework for myself, which is not that exciting in and of itself.
Is a web framework?
I don't actually know if frameworks is the right term, but basically it's like a...
Sounds like a wake term. Yeah.
It's like a blogging platform, to be honest. It's like a static site generator sort of thing.
Okay,
like Jekyll is a very popular one. I'm trying out Hugo, which is it's written in Go. And basically it's just like, you know, you have a bunch of markdown files. It generates a site for you. You can like synchronize it for GitHub. It's quite nice, actually. My friend Dan told me about it.
Someone mentioned it for me. Yeah, the world's fastest framework for building websites.
It is shockingly fast. And like once you get into the flow, like it does not is so like you and I have been WordPress denizens for a very, very long time. That's how the AmpHour is done as well. And like it's great. There's especially if you have like a couple people like having like the content management backend where like you can share and everybody has logins and stuff like that. That's where it makes a little more sense. Yeah, this would be more like if we were generating files and using GitHub and like, so like if I push a new version, you'd be able to see it on GitHub, whatever. And then when we're ready to push it to the cloud, you basically commit to the main branch and it does its thing on the back end.
Recommended this to me, like these static website generators to me, because my forum is so massive. My website is so massive in terms of the database size, because people don't know the static website, it basically just generates a HTML page for every page, whereas WordPress and the Simple Machines forum that I use and other, they're all dynamically generated. Every time somebody sends a request through to the website, that actual request has to go to the database, and then they've got to build the page. They've got to dynamically build the page in real time. And when you have 10,000 people bombarding your website at once, that's 10,000 database requests. And it has to assemble the page, and boom, it's a huge bottleneck. And I've been hitting those limits recently. I just had to upgrade my server hardware because we're just getting too much traffic and everything.
Yeah, you wouldn't use a static generator for like a forum because it's just moving so fast, right?
Oh,
regenerate everything there. But like your blog,
but certainly for the website, WordPress website. Everyone's going, why do you use that?
I'm
going to
be honest, this doesn't feel like a Dave thing. No offense, Dave.
I just don't want to go there. That's why I upgraded the hardware on the forum, and now my website is super slick.
That's the way to do it. So this sort of thing, though, like if you have a website and you're changing it like, I don't know, once a year or like less, I am for my personal website or my consulting website, whatever.
Usually we just generate a project and we just dump the info on there and we don't touch it for 20 years, right?
That's right. Exactly. Like, I mean, like, I think the alternate zone is still around, right?
Basically,
how that was written. It was like static HTML.
Not necessarily hand coded. I did use Dreamweaver at one point. Hands up if you use Dreamweaver.
Adobe Dreamweaver. Oh, man. That gives me all the feels. Yes. Yeah.
I thought that was the duck's guts. Hand coding, but then I discovered Dreamweaver. Wow. A GUI interface for making websites.
Dreamweaver. Steve Miller Band.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
But it's still there, right? I mean, that's the thing.
It's still there. Yeah. Pages are still there. But anyway, so Hugo, you've been using this. Why?
What was the reason for the change? I just wanted to try it out. I had a bunch of problems with my WordPress site kind of got too old, and I switched it over, and I had a bunch more problems with it. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I'll target my consulting site and like start to put projects on there.
Yep.
And so now what has become is beginning of 2024 is like me doing a retrospective because I'm trying to like put all my projects. You know, we've talked about your one friend who like tracked every single PCB he's ever made.
Every project he's ever done on his website. Yeah. Yeah. It's
right. Awesome. That's what I should have been doing, but now I'm trying to do it in 2024. And like looking back through Google Photos and old emails and like reaching out to people. And so like I should have been doing this the whole time, but I did not. And now I'm doing it. And it's disappointing. I'm going to be honest. I have this like image of myself as someone who like makes a lot of PCBs, does a lot of stuff. And I'm like, oh, well, I did like two PCBs that year. Okay. All right. Well, and that one wasn't that good. That one never went anywhere. And that one never went anywhere. You know, it's just like,
yeah, but it's sometimes worth documenting that sort of stuff. You know? Especially, totally that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Especially if you're, some newbie after a job. Right.
Yes.
You need to have 100%. A website that documents all your projects.
I think that's right.
Even
if my site doesn't pan out how I want it to be, I think if people are listening and they learn nothing else, it's start now. The best time is 20 years ago. The next second best time is right now. Documenting that stuff, even if it is still on your computer, like having it all in one place, that would have even been useful too, just to have it like all in a Dropbox folder and be like, oh, project one for client A is like, all right, I just go there and I see all this stuff, but it's all spread across lots of different places. And we never really take the photos are always just like kind of, I should always put them in a light box too. Like that is an investment I highly recommend, and one that sits folded up in the corner way too. Yeah. Light box, like for taking like product photos.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. For like $75. You can get like a really decent size one. So like I have one that's probably, 600 by 600 by 600, or 2 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot. It folds up in the corner as like a flat pack thing. And then it just sits there, but then it's got LEDs built in, all the reflective material. And like, you can make stuff look with that in a smartphone, you can make PCBs look like really good and without any trying at all. So I do recommend that. Again, I'm do as I say, not as I do. But I do have all my old PCBs, so I will also probably be taking a bunch of photos of PCBs, and those will go on the website. So,
got it.
So yeah,
the main page on your website is ridiculously long.
Which website?
Oh no, is this still WordPress?
Everything is still WordPress. .com. That's all WordPress. Oh, is that all one page? WordPress? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all one. It's massively long.
Oh, I switched to a different theme, and
And you just didn't tidy it right.
Oh, oh man. Yeah, I still have a blog. It's weird to think about that.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Oh, look, there are your faces on my blog. Look at that.
What? Aww, my face is
Dave
on there.
Dave and Chris meet. Yeah.
All right.
April 6, 2017.
Oh, there you go.
A glass on the seafloor.
Jeez.
Link that in. That's when Dave and I met. It's like... Oh, yeah. It's like feeling all these emotions about meeting Dave finally, And I was like, there he is.
Yeah, that was at the airport. That's right. I was coming to meet you at the carousel, and then all of a sudden I got a tap on the shoulder and...
Bingo.
It was you. Yep.
Yeah. Looming over you. 4 feet taller than Dave, as that photo shows.
4 feet taller, Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. And that's the other thing too, is that that's 2017. I'm like, it was like last year. She's like, no, Chris, that was 7 years ago now.
Scary.
Yeah, it does fly by. It's all flying by, Dave.
Anyway, it's 2024.
Yeah.
I still had not continued my rant.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It wasn't just solar roadways, dude.
Not just solar roadways. Okay.
Dehumidifiers are back. Made all the hype. Oh, God. The number of people who link me to this. It's Twitter. There's a company called the... it's the WaterCube WC100 from Genesis Systems.
Oh, is this
Systems.
pulling fresh water out of the air?
Fresh water out of the air, dude. It's a dehumidifier. Yeah. And people, it featured at CES. They had this big stand at CES.
Oh, my God.
And it went viral on Twitter. It was getting millions of views. And commentators that I actually listen to, they're raving over it. Right. Oh, you can buy that. You can now buy this machine that generates all your fresh water for your house. And it's like, oh, God, no. Yeah. No, it's a dehumidifier. Somebody redoes it every year. And, you know, they just got lucky and the press went, oh, goo goo gaga over this. It's $20,000 and it pulls, I don't know, 500 gallons a day or something is their claim.
500 gallons a day?
Is their ridiculous claim.
That is a lot. I mean, if you live in like...
Yeah,
I guess Durham in the summer, or you know, generally North Carolina in the summer. Yeah, maybe you could pull, depending how big your compressor is.
100 gallons a day, 100 gallons.
Still,
a day.
I mean, like that's still a ton of water, right? I mean, that is a lot of water.
So the claim, and I like their data sheet.
370 liters for you freedom units.
There's the data sheet for you, and it's a bit underwhelming. The data sheet, and it weighs 600 pounds, and it only takes 6 kilowatts. Only 6 kilowatts.
Only 6 kilowatts. Okay.
Only 6 kilowatts to generate. Yeah. And of course, there's no mention on the website, the data sheet, anywhere else, that the 100 gallons per day is totally dependent upon everything. It's dependent upon the dew point, the temperature, the pressure, location, the time of year. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's 600 pounds?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah,
this thing's a beast.
Yeah. And they claim that they have bigger ones. You can't actually buy it yet. You can put down a deposit. You see, you can put down a $500 deposit. And everyone's just going ape over this thing. It's just ridiculous. And there's no mention of, they mention it has UV water treatment, but what about the minerals? You've got to add minerals to dehumidify water, right? You've got to add stuff in. No mention of that.
Right.
And it's just, any company who doesn't actually tell you under what operational conditions you're getting your gallons per day, liters per day, then just no, avoid.
I am amazed. Speaking of compressors, I just bought, we can go back to your ranting, don't worry.
Okay.
We just bought a deep freeze here because we're just kind of growing
a deep
family.
Deep freeze, as in
deep
a freezer.
Deep freeze, like a chest freezer. Like a chest freezer, like a
chest
top
freezer,
down.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, and not a big one. So like 5.
They're really great.
So I'm not sure what the metric using it is for that, but you know, it's basically... It's not that big. It fits in a closet, right? That's the only space we have really for it. And I'm really impressed at like how little it cost to operate one year.
No, they're super
efficient.
It's like
$30 a year, you know, like they're, and it's pulling like, I think it's only pulling like.
Yeah, it's not much.
An amp at steady state when it's like just running.
When the actual compressor's on,
That's right. Yeah. Like not a startup.
Yeah, but they're super efficient. And opening the door on the things does nothing. In fact, you can leave the door off. You can leave the door off and it's probably only going to take about 10% more power because the freezing settles and the hot air, you don't actually need the lid on it. That's why you can go to the supermarket and they have those open freezers.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Whereas your regular fridge freezer, which is an upright one, as soon as you open the freezer door on that, whoosh.
Mine is a drawer, and so it all falls out the bottom.
Same here, it's a drawer, and the handle's broken, so you've got to grab both sides, and you've got to pull it out.
Oh, no, I don't know. Okay. I'm sure that's coming. You know, teenage and pre-teenage boys. So.
Yes. Yep.
Yet.
Oh, boy. And as soon as you open the door, whoosh, you've just lost a ton of energy, and then you need to recoup that energy by, you know, then you have to expend that energy again to freeze it back down. And whereas those are chest freezers, very efficient. And you just open the lid and it does nothing.
And I plugged I bought like a kilowatt little power meter plugs in the wall in line. And you program in your electricity rate too. And like the couple weeks I've had it on, it's been like a dollar worth of electricity. And just like, I think that's the other thing too, is just like it points out just how cheap power is here. It's like only 11 cents per kilowatt here.
11
which is not,
cents.
Yeah, it's not the cheapest, but it is.
I just renegotiated. Well, I changed companies for my lab here, for the power for the lab. I was paying 43 cents per kilowatt hour.
Wow, that is more. That is more. That is 4x what I'm paying, Dave.
I'm now down to 34 cents per kilowatt hour.
Wow.
Hopefully. Wow. I just changed like the other day. I haven't got my...
What's your average bill for like your lab?
Oh, it's about saying. $400. It's not it's not huge. $400 per quarter.
Oh, wait, these are Aussie, but these are dollar dues, though.
These are Aussie bucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then also, okay.
I'm paying maybe 20 cents, 20, 22 US cents.
Right.
But sure. No, that sort of power here in Australia is unheard of.
Wow.
Unheard of. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's been interesting stuff in the news here as well about power. Yeah. Like,
Where does most of your power come from? I presume your state generates its own power.
In the state, it's a lot. Everything in the U.S. is switching over to natural gas. And there was an article about how that saved Texas's, you know, how Texas grid fell over three years ago.
Yeah.
They basically, I didn't realize this. The one of the root causes of that was that the natural gas lines froze during they had like a really big dip.
Really?
And because that's like a lot of the instantaneous power.
Right.
That ended
up. It couldn't switch on and it took the grid down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Right. And then that always cascades as well.
Yeah.
In the US, like natural gas is like super, super critical right now. And so coal's going offline and renewables are,
still doing their thing.
But obviously in the winter, that's really tough still. And especially at peak load. So like gas is a huge, super huge part of mix.
Why don't you dudes just make more nuclear plants? I mean,
it's not there. I don't know. I think it's a lot of bad feels.
A lot of politics, as it always
a lot
is.
Of politics, yeah.
Everything's politics. Everything to do with energy is politics.
I agree. Yeah. I was also surprised in that article that was talking about Texas is leading the nation in wind generation. And it has been for many years. So I'll find that article. It was but kudos, Texas. But it's still tough, right? I mean, like I said, I mean, like in the winter, just wind doesn't do as well in the winter. I was actually thinking about that before we started recording too, because obviously right now this is a huge load. You know, it's been really cold where I am in North Carolina. I've gotten a couple texts about like, hey, please watch your power usage, whatever, turn off your stuff. You know, like how they send that stuff out. And that actually does have impacts, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
But the heating is obviously a huge part and a huge stressor on the grid, but more consistent. And then your time of year, you are in middle of summer right now.
We're in middle of summer. But even in the middle of winter, like cold is not a problem here in Sydney.
Sure. I just meant because the heat is so extreme there and because inductive loads.
They've had to do that here. Like in the middle of peak day, they go, can you please be
conservative degrees, huh?
with your aircon? You know, can you set it a couple of degrees higher and, you know.
Yeah, right, yeah. right.
But I know people whose energy bills are like, you know, $4,000 and stuff because they just have these huge houses and they leave their aircons on 24/7. They've got fully ducted aircons and they climate control their house 24/7 and they wonder why they have big power bills.
That's insane.
I know.
$4,000 a month? Wow. Even in dollary dues, that's a lot.
not per month. That'd be per quarter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is that how you pay in there? Really?
Yes. We don't pay
per
month here. No, it's always per quarter.
Interesting. Okay,
energy, gas, it's all per quarter, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I didn't realize.
Oh, totally different. I didn't know you guys paid monthly. There you go. Learn something new.
Culture's coming together. All right, back to 2024. You were pissed about it.
I was pissed about it. And not only, right, the beta voltaic batteries are back. Right, I'm sure
is that
the nuclear diamond.
I saw a thing about. I'm like, come on,
they're back again. Chinese
like,
company.
People see this stuff and they're just like,
they go.
Don't
mad.
They ask questions?
No, like, they just go.
Wouldn't we hear about this more? Is this because of CES? Is this the problem? Is CES the problem?
This was not CES. This was just it just people want to believe. You know, people want to, this Chinese company's cracked it. We'll have our phones will be nuclear battery powered. And then you go and read the article. Yeah, it's another beta voltaic battery. Yeah, it's only 100 microwatts. And it's not, they don't even have pre-production yet. It's like in pre-testing.
Yeah.
It's not even and they're talking about this is going to, oh my God, this is going to revolutionize the world. And of course, beta voltaic batteries, you've been able to buy them for decades from companies like City Labs, I think. Mm. City Labs is one of them. Yeah, they make one in a dip package, in a like
medical seal gold. Is it used for like a real time clock or what is it?
Dip package. They're mainly aerospace. I think if you wanted to buy one of those, you probably can't afford it. Well, you probably can, but you're not going
to
be want
to
use
it.
You're not going to be want to.
There's no price on this dip package. Like, no.
It looks pretty like it's all gold plated. It looks pretty specky, you know.
Yeah, so
this thing's a bit better than those, like a bit better density, and stuff, but it's the same shit, different smell. It's like 100 microwatts. And 100 microwatts for 50 years, you know, it's a decent amount of energy and stuff like that. But, like, it's not going to suddenly revolutionize everything. Right. Sorry. It's
Dave,
just,
I don't want to charge my phone ever again. That's the always thing that people – I never have to charge my phone ever again. It's like this is the modern inconvenience.
And it's like here's a quote from all the articles. The company plans to launch a 1-watt battery in 2025.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Well, how about you actually launch the 100 microwatt version first?
Yeah.
Before you go for like microwatts? Right? And the 1 watt, like, I couldn't even get a data sheet for this thing. I can't even find the company's website. I wanted to do a video on this. You think I can find any bloody detail apart from the press release? No.
No.
Oh, my God. Just stop it.
Possibly need to.
Stop it. People, stop.
Come on. You don't want to evaluate it, do you?
Yeah, do I want to evaluate the thing? Ah, bloody hell. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, send me one if they were serious. They didn't. Yeah. They'd send, just like that, you know, the. Superconductor thing that the LK99 or whatever it was, that was like totally real.
Yeah, that's back
in
the news. Yeah.
Totally. Is it? It's back in the news.
It was back in somewhere. Yeah.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Anyway, so I did actually put this meme on Twitter, and here you go. I'll put it for you. There you go.
I'm blissfully unaware, Dave. Oh, it feels so good to not be. That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
that
a good one.
That would be great.
Okay.
That would be great.
That'd be great. Office Space. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so I'd do the Office Space meme. Yeah, just stop getting excited over it, please. Like news places, like, but I guess they have to, because that's the thing, you know.
You know, the thing is, like, it's expensive to hire people that actually read the stories anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah.
ChatGPT is just writing all the stories these days, Dave.
Well, what's the company? Oh God, I can't even remember. I think we talked about this. They went bust. It was actually a fraud. It was hang on, I've got to search my own bloody channel again. Don't you hate it? Because it won't come into my fraud. Yes, the nuclear diamond battery. Yes, sorry, it was.
Oh, that's not the same thing.
No. This is.
Oh, it's a different thing. Okay.
Oh yes, the new one's a Chinese company, Beijing Betavolt. They're called, right? So that's
The nuclear
Chinese. They are using a diamond semiconductor, fourth generation semiconductor module to successfully release, you know, that's how they convert it into, it's got nickel isotope or something like that, you know, some sort, and it's got a diamond semiconductor converter in it. Anyway, the nuclear diamond battery, did we actually mention this on the Air Power before?
No.
Yeah, they were an outright fraud. They're being sued by the SEC, I call them. Everyone complains that I call it the SEC. The Securities and Exchange Commission are actually suing the Nuclear Diamond Battery Company. I don't know if that's actually their name, but yeah, they're actually suing them, and they're fraudulent. They never had a prototype. They never had anything. And it was and they got the funding. They got all this funding because they hired one of these PR firms to generate this massive press release, hyping it all up and saying, we've got these deals with these universities and we've tested this and it's about to go wild jump on the bandwagon and invest now. And then every news outlet picks it up because it comes from this PR firm, you know, and it's the same thing here, right? This Chinese firm has hired a PR firm to write their press release, and then it just goes out. It just spreads out like wildfire to every news agency, and then they go, we've got today's exciting new headline, you know, Chinese firm, mass market production, and it doesn't bloody exist, right? They're not even in they're in pre-testing, let alone pre-production. You just have to read down the article a bit. Like, God,
Dave, I think 2024 year is the year you should get off Twitter.
Right. I can't help it. People are just going to, I escaped the internet people are going to send me letters. They would send me letters.
Send you letters.
In my P.O. box.
You know what will happen? You know what will happen? Is they'll install a tube to your house and it'll show up in one of those pneumatic tubes.
Shoop. Oh, my God.
Pneumatic tube straight to the home.
It's like, I just can't keep doing videos on these things. They just keep coming.
Yeah.
They just keep coming. Oh, but somebody has to expose them, you know. So I guess it's
yes. Me. Yeah.
I know you're not a fan.
Maybe it's the SEC
I know
well.
You're totally against my debunking videos. You
no,
think
it's
pointless.
Okay. They're just not for me. That's fine. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And there was the tipper spinning. So, no, the solar panel that got light from all directions because it bounced off the solar light actually reflects off mirrors and therefore onto multiple solar panels. And you can get, you know, 100% right. efficiency or
above
something.
Above 100%, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some real and positive things, maybe. Is that okay?
Yeah,
can we switch
sure.
out of yeah. angry mode? Yeah.
Yeah.
Our friends at Evil Mad Scientist are joining a long-forgotten name, Bree Pettis at Phantom
Bree,
Tools.
Oh, Bree, whoa!
Yeah, there's a name,
thought,
huh?
I thought he vanished into obscurity on some island there with his $50 million he got from selling MakerBot.
Yeah, that's right. He's been the owner of Bantam Tools for a while, which was the circuit board routing company, right? So it used to be Other Mill, if you remember Other Mill.
Oh, Other Mill, right. Okay, right? They renamed it, did they?
He bought it and they renamed it Bantam Tools,
right,
based out of New York. And now... Lenore and Wendell from Evil Mad Scientist are joining as COO and CTO.
And,
and because they have very successful product, the Drawbots that they've been doing have been very, very successful.
Yeah. Right.
And so, yeah.
Interesting.
They're more robots and stepper motors heading to New York. So that's great. So there congrats to them, of course. Wendell's been on the show before.
Yep.
And we've followed their stuff. I remember back in the early days, remember we used to dig through feeds on RSS readers. Dave, do you remember RSS readers?
Yes, I remember RSS. I still have RSS on my website.
Do you remember furiously scouring RSS before we were about to start recording? Yep. And then often it would be like Lenore and Wendell from Evil Mad Scientist were like doing news aggregation and we're like, oh yeah, we can just read from this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, great for them. I'm really excited. And
excellent.
It's great news. Great news. Yeah. So.
Bree must be the Bree's real deal because he just couldn't keep away. He just couldn't take the money and go to the island and run. Sit there. And no, he had
I think if Dave or I were doing it, we'd be sipping Mai Tais. But good for you, Bree.
Oh, so. Hang on. There's a knock at the door. Please keep the audience entertained.
Oh, yeah. This is always, I do great at this. Let's dig through the other list. So other things that I want Dave to talk about when he gets back. The ESP32s. The V3, C3, and C6 have been broken open with
a
side channel attack.
What's been broken open? That's all I heard.
The ESP32s have been, there's been a published side channel attack where basically you can just kind of rip the memories directly out.
Right, you can just bypass all the security. And
I think I saw a quote about this. It was like, software eventually works, hardware eventually fails. I think that was the quote someone was talking about. And it's like, eventually everything can be side channel attacked. And but there is a lot of hardware out in the world that is, and the C3 and C6 are also pretty new. So I think that also is potentially problematic. I'm sure it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know how much this impacts like a low cost product, but, being able to.
Well,
extract your memory.
Like, sometimes
not
that matters and sometimes it doesn't. Like, people claim that, the Trezor hardware wallet, it's got a side channel exposure or something, insert like hardware wallet here, right? It's got a side channel attack. And it's like, it does. Okay, not terrific. But the fact is, somebody has to physically get your device first. And the whole idea is that you have it. Like you physically have it. So it's like the side channel attack is like, okay.
Yeah. And for those two, I think like that's also pulling cryptographic keys out. I think this is just dumping the whole flash. So like if you wanted to replicate someone else's product, I think that's, if you think you have write protection on your flash, that's potentially problematic.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, if you're trying to protect your product from some company actually, Chinese company copying, loaning the thing, right? You're not going to stop them. Like, if they want to do it enough, that they're going to do it. So, like, you know.
Yeah, right, right. I do think if you have, you know, then there's other precautions in there. It's like having offboard certificate storage in like a secure element. You know, secure elements are more secure than ESB parts are.
For those who don't know, they actually have physical security in them as well. They put like a mesh over the die and stuff like that, so you can't X-ray them and you can't physically probe them. And, you know, they have extra physical security on top of just the silicon security. So, yep, they're really quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do think the, you know, like your point about having physical access control is something. I think also, like, if you don't have, you know, network connection for your product, then, yeah, it might be more vulnerable to cloning, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's not super great, but like you said, you know, it's depending on what market you're targeting and stuff like that. Like, you know, probably don't put this into like a government program sort of thing.
Right. Got it.
Like, don't put it in the X-35 fighter jet or something like that. Right.
Yeah. And there's also the thing about, well, how much effort do you have to do to actually, you know, side channel attack it? It's often not that easy. Like there might be some security vulnerability. Oh, somebody's hacked the new Sergeant and Greenleaf safe lock or something like that, right? And it's like, yeah, okay. It took them 2 years of research to do that, and they've released this video showing that there's this hugely complex method. Well, your average thief who's, you know, trying to hack into your safe going to have the tools and the expertise to do this. They would just like smash into it with a sledgehammer or an angle grinder or something like that. Like, you know,
that's a good point.
It's kind of, happens in theory.
Is there a market to commercialize the actual technique of jailbreaking as well? Like, when we talked about the CAN bus on the Amp Hour as well, trying to remember his name now. I feel bad about that. Dr. Ken Tyndall, search just came through. When Ken was on the show, you know, he was talking about the tool you can just buy on AliExpress, right? You can just buy like a CAN injector, basically.
Right.
And like that has a lot of value and people will pay for it, and it's worthwhile to build this thing, even though it's pretty simple. Like it's like a PIC processor with a CAN.
Once you figure out how to do it, it's easy to make it.
Yeah.
Dedicated doodad to, yeah.
That's right, exactly. Right. And there's like high value because you're stealing cars then. Like maybe the same would exist for safes, but then you know, then who knows?
Well, they only sell them to limited markets. This sort of thing exists with operating system exploits. For example, I know someone who works in this space, let's just say, and there are tools available to hack into your phone remotely. And hacking to your computers remotely, and they use zero-day exploits. They're called, which means that for example, a zero-day exploit on Windows 11, right? It means somebody's found a way in, can bypass the security on Windows 11. That is, and Microsoft don't know about it yet, so they can't patch it. That is hugely valuable. You don't just tell the world about that, right? You sell that. You sell that tool. You sell that exploit for $100,000 per license or something like that to the security agencies. You sell it to the police force. And there are, you know, these government – and you sell it to other government agencies. And they actually buy these. There are companies who specifically sell these exploit tools – to law agencies. And the, you know, the companies that make the products don't know about them. So you keep it hush-hush.
Would be like buying. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
They're hugely valuable. If you find one of these zero-day exploits in an operating system, it's worth a lot of money to a lot of people, to a certain niche industry. So just saying.
Okay.
All right. You might want to keep it to yourself. You could be rich.
I'm not looking around for those sort of things myself, nor would I know how to find one. I would not know if I found one, even if it smacked
me
in the face.
Generally, these companies that sell these types of tools don't really publicize themselves. You've got to be in the law enforcement business to sort of know who they are, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And totally. And they won't just sell it to anyone, and even if they did, you wouldn't be able to afford it. So, yep.
Right. Yep.
But the CIA can, the local police forces, they can. They can buy a license and they can access all your stuff. Isn't that wonderful?
No, they can't, Dave, because I don't use Windows.
All right. Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but you've got one of those shoe phones, though.
What's a shoe phone?
Yeah.
Like a Android. And I do have an Android phone. Yeah, phone. Yeah, totally.
You've
that
just
is
got a
totally
phone.
The way into my house. No, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Agree.
Yeah, and nothing, it's not an old brick. It's a fair, no, it's yeah, one that's running a modern operating system. And yep. Yeah. Yep. So they know everything you do. Just don't fight it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well,
you'll be right.
We do talk about everything we do on the show when we do record. So.
So good.
Speaking of what's coming up in 2024 for you? What's on the docket of non debunking videos? Any new projects?
You know, I don't plan that far ahead. Although I was just offered a free pick and place machine.
Ooh, how free?
Free as in I've got to drive 6 hours
you
to get
go
it.
Rent a truck.
I've got to rent a truck and drive 6 hours to get it, but it's free, and it's a decent one.
What vintage?
Oh, I don't know. Don't know the exact
year. You should totally do it
vintage.
Then. Free, like loaders included.
Yeah, I believe so. Yep. So,
will they help you load it under the truck? You think?
I think they might. Yes, I think they'll even help me load it onto the truck.
I'd say sold. I'd say sold.
You reckon? Anyway, yeah. I did put a poll on Twitter whether or not I should take it or whether or not it's going to just consume my life.
I mean,
and
it will. It might help you. It might give you a hernia. You know, those things are not light.
No, it's 180 kilos. It's not too bad.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the relative size? Give me the size of the.
Oh, it's it just fits through a door,
so
it's like 800 mil wide by 1 meter tall or something.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And do you know the brand or no?
Yes, I can't remember offhand. It's one of those Chinese brands, but it's one of the upper market. You know, it's a Chi Hong Wong.
So it's a relatively recent, but not.
I don't know how recent. Oh, hang on. I'm going to.
So it's not like an old quad or something like that? Or
No. It's
Samsung or something.
It's not one of the more mainstream brands.
Got it.
But it is used and was sold by many. I don't think, you can't buy it anymore. So it's, it's an older machine. Yep.
Yeah. It'll be running Windows NT, I'm sure, because even the new machines run that.
Right. It's a TVM 920.
TVM 920.
Here you go. I shall send you the link to the TVM 920.
Oh, I already found it. Wait a second.
Right. Yep.
There's a 2016. The first link on Google for me is a 2016 post on EEV blog.
Right.
Is that who's giving it to you? Yeah.
Well, it's not from 2016.
Okay.
I see that link too. Yeah. No, it isn't the same person. The person who did that link's in Germany.
That'd be pretty funny.
No. Yeah, it would.
it's just like post after post about like, I hate this machine.
Yeah,
piece of crap. No one should ever use this.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Okay.
And he says it can do 0402, but he hasn't had much success with 0402. So it's kind of like 06 and 03 and above. But
that's great. And it runs OpenPNP, it looks like.
Does it?
Well, the link on qhsmt.com links to OpenPNP, so I assume so. I think you get a lot of good content out of this. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
that's not the only reason to do it, but that would be kind of fun.
Yep.
And if it runs OpenPNP, I'd say you definitely do it because
it would be way better. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Because then I could test out OpenPNP and not use the software that came with it. So hang on. Mm-hmm. I will.
Cool. That's great.
So you think I
don't have to help you move it? I don't think because I don't have to help you move it. I think it's a great idea. We'll be able to talk about it on here. I think it'll make you very upset. I think it'll make me laugh. I think it'll fulfill all of the things that we've talked about on the shows over the years about you're not really using it that much, but who cares? It was free. The feeders were included. Did you say yes, feeders?
I do believe there's feeders included. I'm not sure of how many. I haven't actually seen an actual photo of the unit itself yet. Okay. But
yeah.
As for OpenPMP support, it says TVM 920 support is currently working, but there is work to be done to make it configurable and easy to use.
You could also put your brand behind it and get some nerds to help.
Get some help. Yeah. It's a chai-hi.
Chai-hi. Oh boy, Dave. Dave pronouncing Chinese company names.
Yes, it's a Q-I-H-E.
Chie?
Chie. Chie. Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
I think you should, Dave. Yes, no, I think you should.
You think I should. Okay, right. Hire a truck.
You got the space, right?
I do have the space to put it, yep.
Here's what you should do. Here's what I think you should do. If nothing else, you could make it into an art piece where you do the slowest pick and place ever created.
Right.
And the century clock or something like that? There's like a clock project where it's like supposed to run for 10,000 years.
Run for 1,000 years.
The 1,000 year pick and place, you know?
Yeah. I could have a 24/7 webcam and just have it operational 24/7.
No, it could be coin operated, right? So it's
yes, you've got to put.
You want this to run faster? You want it to run faster and see what we're placing? Then, yeah, you could have people submit designs,
right?
And, I mean, there's tons of merchandising.
I know. I could actually make like stuff that's like, I don't even have to make an actual functional product. I could just make art.
As you said,
it could just be just like a big letter array.
Zero ohm resistors.
An entire grid of zero ohm resistors.
Signature in zero ohm resistors.
Yeah, I could do totally pointless projects with it. Yeah.
It's art.
Yeah. Because making and selling an actual functional product is kind of a lot of work if people don't realize.
Oh, totally.
Right? Yeah, so it's like, I could just do pointless products. And
I think you should. I think that's a great way to get you over the hump. And then maybe, you know, you get so into it, then maybe you will make something.
Right.
Pointed. pointful.
Pointful.
Making pointful products. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think you will make many pointy things.
Right. Okay. There you go.
So, I think that's a fun project. Yep. Did I see you have a 3D printer too?
Have a new 3D printer. Yes. Yes. And it kind of just works.
Dave.
Which is really amazing.
In a moment of weakness, I was cursing FreeCAD, just cursing.
Right.
I really hate it, and I also love it. I mean, it's fine.
I told you so. Isn't that an I told you so, maybe?
Yeah, it's probably I told you so. Right. I actually downloaded Onshape. Not downloaded. It's a browser-based. Right?
Yes,
so I
we,
got an account, and I was like,
Onshape,
you used Onshape. It looks great.
It was a web-based thing.
It's just like looks so much smoother, and I just can't drive myself to – like I just know that I'm like totally locked into that platform then. What I really want to do is get better at parametric stuff.
Right.
Like I had a friend asking me about, you know, I want to learn modeling. Should I do that with FreeCAD? And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. I didn't do that personally. I learned it with Fusion 360. I loved Fusion 360. I'm sure I'll love Onshape. It's just like, you know, and just learning how to like do modeling and parametric modeling rather, and like learning just how to build things in a 3D space is like an important thing. And like FreeCAD is not the way to do it.
I tried it once and it was
really tough. And maybe someday, but you know, it's not the place to do it. I think KiCad is the place to start. I do think it's as good, not as good. It's not as good, but
it's good enough. Yep.
It is industry standard enough that
I was going to say it is industry standard enough. Yes, it is now industry standard enough. See, I get that because I don't even have an Adobe account, right? So I don't even have Photoshop. Like I've never used Photoshop, right?
Oh, okay.
So I'm always using either Earthen View or I'm using
Earthen View.
I've
never heard that one. No, I don't know that one. I'm going to look
it up. Earthen View is the Duck's Guts image viewer, and you can do basic editing
View. Sorry.
With it.
No, I know Earthen View. Sorry. Right. I thought you were saying Earthen View.
Earth,
the planet.
Earth.
No,
Earth, I-R-F-A-N. It's a guy's name.
I know that one. Yeah, that's because that's also one of the defaults in like some distro, I think it's.
Oh, is it? Okay. Earthen View is the default. Okay.
Yeah, I thought so.
Interesting.
Maybe a Debian? I don't know. I use GIMP. I've used GIMP for many years. I'm locked in on that one.
I use GIMP, but I don't use it enough to remember anything in it. Right?
Yeah.
And I keep hearing about all this new whiz-bang AI crap in Photoshop, right?
Oh, it sucks.
You can just do that. It sucks, does it?
It sucks.
Oh, really?
What I've seen, at least. I'm sure it's, you know, my friends who are goofing around and showing me stuff. But
I don't know. Should I, like, pay to get the Adobe account and just use Photo? And then you get access to the CAD tools and everything, don't you? You get access to, like, what's the Adobe CAD tool? What is it? Adobe have a CAD tool?
I thought it's Autodesk.
Autodesk? No? Isn't there another one? No. Is it Autodesk?
Does Adobe have a CAD tool? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
I
if
thought,
they do.
Jeez.
Adobe, it's like 3D, like mechanical CAD?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think so.
It's got the PCB program built in as well.
No, you're thinking Autodesk. You're definitely thinking Autodesk.
Am I?
Yeah, it's Matt Bergren. That's what Eagle
got
tucked into. No, that's Autodesk.
Oh, that's Autodesk and Adobe. Is it?
Okay. Adobe is a massive software company. Autodesk is also a massive software company, but they are different companies. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. And it's one of those all-you-can-eat things, isn't it?
I love Fusion 360.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Fusion 360. Fusion. Like, it's great. That's how I learned.
See, but I don't even have an Adobe account. Should I just, like, because
it's not Adobe, Dave.
Sorry.
It's Autodesk.
Oh, so Autodesk is Adobe. Jeez, I don't know.
It's not, they're different, right? Are you gaslighting me right now?
I genuinely don't know. They're different companies.
Adobe is not Autodesk.
Right.
Adobe's a lot bigger, actually. And Adobe just got blocked from purchasing Figma. Figma is like
how
very high paid designers design websites.
Yeah, right.
It's a good tool, but they were trying to buy Figma. It was like some blockbuster deal, and it got blocked because basically it's like there are very few programs that do that sort of thing anymore.
All right.
Anywho, Autodesk is Fusion 360, and then they've got Adobe
Illustrator. They've got InDesign, whatever that is.
Are you still confusing this?
No. I'm actually on the Adobe website now.
You're on Adobe. Okay.
I'm on the Adobe products. Substance 3D Painter. 3D Design. Adobe Substance 3D Designer. Never heard of it.
I don't think they play in the CAD space. I think they're all creative space.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I got totally confused.
Adobe Photoshop, obviously.
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver.
They still got it.
That's what you should download, and you should see what kind of site you could make with that.
Oh my god, seriously.
And see if you can get one of those under construction. You remember that?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the animated under construction song.
Yeah. Oh god, classic. You know, Dave, the internet used to be a simpler place.
Good times.
Uglier,
yep,
for sure. Simpler, much simpler. I would love to start just a index site. All it does, it's just a link. It's just a link site, and all it is linking to sites that still use the animated under construction. I bet that probably exists, actually. I bet there's a crawler.
Unfortunately, so much is lost. Like, just YouTube alone. Can you remember what YouTube used to look like back in the days? Hardly anyone can. There's only a few screen captures of it. Only a few people bothered to screen capture it back in the day.
And this is the problem with dynamic sites too, is that when you do something like Wayback Machine, it can't capture it because it's a dynamic thing. So, yeah.
Or it can, and it converts it to a static, and it's crappy, and it doesn't.
Maybe it's like a screenshot, nothing works, of course. It's like it won't pull up any videos from back then.
No.
It is trippy when you go on YouTube and this video is 15 years old. You know, that's nuts.
Wow.
You know, that's, but it's also not that old, right? From a tech perspective.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but, oh, man. Anyway.
Yeah. Last time I was on an airplane, this is apropos of absolutely nothing. Last time I was on an airplane, there was a flight attendant who was a very stupid sounding person, and he was talking to a bunch of kids. And he was telling them that this plane was built 10 or 15 years ago. And I'm like looking around this plane that was obviously built in the 70s. And he was just like trying to sound smart. I'm like, dude, there is no way this plane, this like CRJ 180 or whatever the hell I was on, like some like crappy plane from the 80s or 70s. Like, I'm like, this was not built 10 or 15 years ago. If it is, I will eat my shoe. You know?
Right. Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
But
yep,
that's how things like, I don't know, like to a kid, like old things just look old, right? I mean, like certain, I don't know, the Empower site looks old at this point. It is old, you know, like.
Oh God, there was this terrific meme. I wish I could think of it now. Sorry, it's lost. It was okay. On Twitter, but of course Twitter. You're not going to see it because you're not on Twitter.
I remember Twitter back in the day, Dave.
Right. You know? Dude, it's even better.
It's now. Old.
It's even better.
Okay. All right. You keep that. You keep that, and I'll be over here.
What, in your little... In your little bubble
no,
over
I'm not even doing. I'm not doing anything these days. I'm not doing anything. I'm just I'm in my
oh, really?
Own little world.
You aren't even outputting on the other thing that you're on.
No. I'm just quiet on the internet, Dave.
Okay.
All's right. Quiet.
So
on
you're
the
basically giving up social
fronts.
Media.
Yeah, I don't miss it, man. I don't miss it.
Right.
I miss people. I still miss people.
Right.
Don't get me wrong there. Yeah.
But you can follow people on social media. You can
I
interact
know, Dave.
With them.
Barely.
Anyway, yeah. If anyone wants to interact with me, I'm still on social media.
All right.
I'm still on Twitter.
Go and send Dave
doing
more
great.
Things to,
yep.
to get mad about.
Yep. All right.
2024 is a new year for Dave
I'm
to get mad
24/7
about.
I'm there 24/7 responding to every possible tweet.
That's right. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Did you see the door that ripped out of the Boeing?
Yeah.
Talk about
planes that were built along. I guess that's not even that though. That was
no,
a new door, right? That was
months
a Max
old.
A Max 9, right?
It was only 4 months old. It was brand new.
You know, they used to build them better back in the 80s, Dave. They built
right,
them better
they used
back,
to build
in
them
80s.
Back in the 80s. See the mobile phone that actually survived the drop. It got sucked out of the plane and iPhone and it actually fell.
Yeah, it's like 14,000 feet.
And everyone's
or something.
Going, "Oh,
yeah.
It's so fantastic." And I'm going, "No, it's just basic drop testing." It's like
well, also hit promo velocity pretty quickly, I'm sure.
And because
it is impressive. You cannot deny that, Dave.
No,
come on.
It's very impressive, but it hits.
That's very impressive.
Like, you know, stuff broke its fall and it hits terminal velocity. It might have got to, I don't know, 90 Ks an hour or something like that, you know. And because it's a flat thing, it doesn't just fall like a brick. It actually flaps around and slows itself down. And then, of course, it hits tree branches and then it lands on soil and grass. And it's totally, you know, somebody's done shock testing.
Another,
I am
another
not
another debunk video
surprised.
Coming.
So
take that, Apple.
Yep.
Ha, in your face. When the
so,
algorithm
yeah,
provides
but it
to you.
But it is fun. It's a fun thing knowing that it actually fun. Survived the fall. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
But just like when as somebody do. Has done shock impact and shock testing, it's no major surprise to me. Yep.
Okay. All right.
But once again, it's one of those odds. If you drop 10 of them, 9 are probably going to break, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Just depends on how and where they land.
Okay. One last piece of history here. Since our friend Unmanaged 615
keeps up the
Lord's work on the Empower subreddit.
Just like
the Omnibot 2000. It's a YouTube video about the old drink serving robots from 85.
Oh yes, I used to lust after one
classic.
Of those. Oh dude,
who didn't
you're,
want one
you're,
of those?
You're I mean, too young to remember that.
I no, I remember my friend's parents had one in the basement, and
right.
I always wanted it to work, and it never did.
Right.
Yeah, this is around the vintage of Chris Gamble being born.
You're right.
I'm a little bit older, but I think by the time. But wow, what a time! What a time to be
the
alive.
The Omnibot 2000. You could buy it at Tandy. You could buy it at Radio Shack.
You could. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and I think that's the other thing. I think I saw the cost down versions once I started going to Radio Shack, as Radio Shack was on its slow and ultimate decline.
Right.
What a dream to be living in.
And how this dude, I haven't watched the video. Lazy Gamer, he's got a new inbox.
What was that sentence?
It looks like new inbox.
New inbox. Ah, I see. Yeah. Got it. Yes, like he has one.
That is
that
the industry
to...
term. Yeah, it's already. It's got the original packing
right.
foam and everything. New inbox. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And he opened it. Where'd he score that from?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Actually, this is a good question. So my daughter is young, and but every time she sees a robot in a kid's book, which is very common. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, really?
Children's authors love to draw robots into into books. Right. And so she always just says Wobot, and it's Wobot. And now she's asking for a pink robot.
Right,
I got to figure out where to buy a pink robot. So if anyone's listening out there and you know a good source for a pink robot, one that I can build, I think I just have to build one, is to be honest. I think she likes robots and she loves gondolas. Like,
you probably have to ask Big Clive, maybe.
That sounds like a good idea. I don't need it to be low cost.
That's a Big Clive fan joke, that one.
Got it. yeah, I think it's like you can just, I don't know, like it doesn't have to be like a super cheap one. And right. Didn't you and your kids, you did like a robot, like a, with a microbit, right? Like a kind of robot?
Yes, we did a little, a little robot microbit thing. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. I've been brainstorming about things to build for her. Thinking about, and she's really into watches now too. So I was thinking about maybe building like a.
Please don't get her like an Apple Watch or whatever.
No. She's got like a little cheapy watch right now. Like it like lights up and has and tells the time. But not like an iPhone. But I was thinking like a, you know, like a CH32 V003 type of thing. Like building one like that with like a little spy screen or something like that. Spy based. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe future episodes we'll talk about it here. That's also something I'm talking about doing on my parental leave, is building something like that. So we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see. I don't want to pretend I have that much time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a time. It's a time thing. Yeah.
But pink robots, I would love to build one. I'd love know where to buy one if there is a good one. And gondolas too. Like I 3D printed a bunch of gondola ornaments for our Christmas tree this year. So
right.
And there are 3D printed gondolas.
I just Googled pink robot.
Yeah, okay. Pink robot.
You can get it on Amazon. I'll send you the link.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. No? That doesn't excite you?
It's
a Rollo robot thing. It's one of those, you know, dual wheel balancing.
Yeah, that's like a cheapy toy. I see.
Yeah.
I want you to be like a robot, Dave. Come on.
All right,
yeah. So it's not bad. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, these are cheap. Okay.
Yeah, they're super cheap. Okay. You can get it on and Prime. One day you can have it in an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Just order it right now.
I know.
Oh, boy. Yep. Yeah. Oh, speaking of robots, I've been struggling. I do have a pool robot.
I saw on your second channel. You've been doing a lot of time lapses and stuff.
Yes, I've been doing time lapses of the pool robot, and it kind of doesn't do what it claims. Gosh darn it! Surprise!
No,
it doesn't. Yeah. The AI is not really much AI in it, and it can't get up the walls properly, and it's kind of random. And it does sort of do mapping, but my third test that I did, it kind of just failed to get up any of the walls, really, and just confuses itself, and then it resets its algorithm, and it does map properly. I don't know. I should get in contact with the company.
Do you think the SEC or the SEC will eventually make people like validate a claim that it has AI? What the hell does it have in there? It's just like, you mean it's programmed?
And it has more.
There's a loop. There's a super loop in there.
If then else statements. Yeah, it's just got a thousand more if then else statements.
It has to have at least 10 of those in order to be called AI.
Right. Yeah. It's just, I know. Everyone's going to throw, you're going to see that. You're seeing that now, right?
I mean, I'm sure one of those pink robots you linked me, I'm sure those things say that too, you know?
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't this month, no, this one doesn't, but it will next month. There'll be an AI version. That's exactly the same, except has AI sticker on the front. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now that CES is over.
Yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah. I weep for the future.
Ah, it's not that bad. Come on.
All right. Says he who's abandoned social media entirely.
Oh, you should weep for that. If you're not weeping for that, you've got other things coming on.
All right. Catch you next time.
See you.